I think hard times are coming when we will be wanting the voices of writers who can see alternatives to how we live now and can see through our fear-stricken society and its obsessive technologies to other ways of being, and even imagine some real grounds for hope. We will need writers who can remember freedom, poets, visionaries, the realists of a larger reality.
Ursula K. Le Guin there accepting the National Book Foundation's Medal for Distinguished Contribution to American Letters, and that was at the 65th National Book Awards on November the 19th, 2014. Today marks the one-year anniversary of the death of the American science fiction and fantasy writer Ursula K. Le Guin. Her Earthsea trilogy marked her out as a writer whose work embraced literary complexity and moral ambiguity. Her 1969 novel, The Left Hand of Darkness, is considered groundbreaking in its radical investigation of gender roles. Maura McHugh joins us from our Galway studio to tell us more about the life and work of Ursula K. Le Guin. It's an incredible career to try to even begin to analyse because it's so vast, Maura. But let's start with the area in which you have a particular interest, and that's science fiction and fantasy genre. How important is she in that particular area?
Yeah, she's... It's. I think most people found her two books, The Wizard of Earthsea and then The Left Hand of Darkness, which were published within a year of each other, to be quite... they shifted the ground in fantasy and science fiction. And she worked in both of those fields very distinctly and very remarkably. And The Left Hand of Darkness looked at the idea of what is it that makes humans, once you take gender out of the equation, how can people be people? And if you think that was published in 1969, so that's 50 years ago. Mm. I mean, she was well ahead of the curve, you know, in looking. She considered it a thought experiment, that book.
The Left Hand of Darkness?
Yeah. Yeah,
she talks about speculative fiction as much as she talks about science fiction or fantasy genre. Mm-hmm. Is that an important differentiation to make in the case of her work?
Well, I think, you know, speculative fiction is a kind of generic term that a lot of people who work in the field tend to use because they start to feel corralled by what is science fiction, what is fantasy, what is horror, what is dark. You know, people come up with these boundaries and... you know, the one thing that Le Guin liked to do was kick against boundaries, you know. So I think she, in many ways, she embraced that term speculative fiction because it gave her a chance to do what she liked to do, which was to speculate.
Well, tell us the type of speculation she did then in that Earthsea trilogy. As you said, started in 1968 when she published A Wizard of Earthsea. Central character here, character called Ged.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of world are we talking about? What kind of world was she speculating about?
Well, in this world, you know, she was very influenced by Taoism, and that was to do with her the fact that her father was an anthropologist, and she was raised in Berkeley in this very liberal background, and she was very interested in people, and she was exposed to the idea of multiple ways of thinking about things. So Ged, the main character, is this kind of impatient boy who goes off to wizarding school. Sounds very familiar.
It certainly does, doesn't it?
And this was in 68 wrote this. But what a lot of it's to do is, you know, is releasing a shadow which is supposedly evil. But a lot of what I say, I don't really quite, even though it's an old book, I don't really want to spoil it.
Yeah.
But basically, it's about looking, you know, light and dark, they are two parts of a whole, which would have been, equilibrium is a very important concept to her.
That's interesting that you say this thing about the shadow and the bright side and the dark side. I listened to her in an interview today where somebody said, well, what exactly, when you say Taoism has inspired your books, he said, what do you mean by that? And she said, well, it's as much about not doing as it is about doing. So it is that yin and yang that she was talking about there.
Yeah, she quotes at one point in an interview really great adage, which is you can't push the river. And she explores this very heavily in The Lathe of Heaven, which is a book she wrote, a standalone book, in a science fiction book in 73. Very quickly on the back, she wrote a whole bunch of fantastic books in a very short period of time, and then she kind of revisited them throughout her career. But The Lathe of Heaven really looks at what it is to wish for things to be different. But once you start to actively make a change, they may go wrong. And it's actually, if anyone likes Philip K. Dick, there's a kind of Philip K. Dickian feeling to The Lathe of Heaven. She was very interested in moving around and thinking about things. And if you look, she came back to Earthsea later on, and she questioned herself, because the characters, the wizards in Earthsea, are all men. And then she clearly just said, why did I do that? And she took a long time to come back to Earthsea and revisit it with a female character and look at it again. So she wasn't above, you know, she critiqued her work, which is fascinating.
When you say she took a long time to come back, the trilogy itself, you had 1968 was the Wizard, then you had The Tombs of Atuan in 71, The Farthest Shore in 72. Was it in one of those two books that she came back to it, or are you talking about later on?
Yeah, in Tehanu, which is in 1990.
So a full 20 years later.
Oh, yes. She couldn't come back to Earthsea. She actually said she couldn't figure out how to come back to the story. With a woman in it, as in the main role, and a lot of people, it's a bit grimmer as well, that book, compared, because these are technically fantasy novels for teenagers, and of course in between she wrote loads of things. It isn't like she wasn't doing anything.
Yeah, I was going to say that to you. You know, we're talking about here, we've spoken generally about her science fiction work and or her fantasy work, as you say, for young adults, really what we're talking about there. But she wrote across lots of different genres and in many different styles.
Yeah, I mean, she wrote nonfiction. She wrote critical essays, which have been collected. But she actually started as a poet. And it's funny to me, because when I was growing up, Le Guin was already around. So she was already a giant. So in my mind, she's always been a giant. But when I came back and looked at her life for this profile, I realized that actually she didn't start getting published until her 30s. And her first book, I think it's 37, her first book is published. But then she takes off like a rocket, and she's 50 years writing from then on. But, you know, she had her own progression. She had a lot of work rejected when she was younger in the field. And she raised a family, and she kind of came to writing after she had raised her family.
The king is pregnant.
Yeah, it's a great line.
An opening line.
Yeah.
In 1969, she writes, "The king is pregnant." How radical was that book? We've touched on it, The Left Hand of Darkness. I suppose specifically in the way it wrote about gender.
Yeah, I mean, in The Left Hand of Darkness, and interestingly, it's the fourth book in this series of science fiction novels she had written. And it's a kind of a universe-spanning series of books. But in The Left Hand of Darkness, it's set on a planet in which the people on the planet are ambisexual. They can be male or female, and they only become male or female for a few days of every cycle. And then it doesn't matter. They have no preference one way or the other. So it's a really extraordinary idea. And what's interesting is that the alien, this is a kind of alien first contact novel, but the alien is a human who comes onto this planet. So, he can't understand. He can't get beyond this, to him, really radical different way. And it takes him a long time to understand the character is called Genli-I, and his counterpart on the planet is called Estraven. It takes him a long time to trust him, and it's just amazing, because she was, you know, really, what makes friendship? What is friendship based on? And what concepts? What do we base our notions of what's trustworthy? You know, the absence of gender is really, and in 1969 was extraordinary.
Extraordinarily, as you say, innovative and radical type of view to give. As well as the writing, she was very private in terms of her personal life, but the issue of copyright, the issue of publishers, the issue of commercialism, why was she outspoken on those issues?
Yeah, she was. She was actually, if you see her in her interviews, she's really forthright. And I think for women, that's always a difficulty because forthright comes across as harsh, you know, and it's not that. I mean, she's forthright and she speaks her mind and she doesn't do niceties in when she's speaking to people and when she's talking about ideas. And she really believed in, you know, authors being protected. I mean, there were a couple of instances where she refused an award because she felt the society that had offered her the reward had been unfair to another author.
Very,
you know,
principled.
Yeah, she
very
was.
Interesting.
And she spoke out and she believed in speaking out.
Yeah, she was very interesting. One quote again I heard her in something I was watching today where she spoke about capitalism and she said, you know, you may think that capitalism is hard to defeat and it's a huge power and all the rest, but, you know, people believed in the divine right of kings once upon a time as well.
Yeah.
She really was a philosopher as much as she was a writer.
Yeah, I mean, and she, it's interesting because even though she has, she thought a lot about this notion of equilibrium and pushing and pulling against the flow, she also believed you had to take a stand and say something. But how you proceeded is, you know, is what you think about. But certainly she would believe in speaking truth. And,
all right.
And that's one thing she did.
If people wanted to start today, what book to send them to briefly?
I would say for fantasy, The Wizard of Earthsea, and then for the science fiction, The Left Hand of Darkness.
All right. Wizard of Earthsea or The Left Hand of Darkness. Those are two books to go searching for. Maura McHugh talking to us about Ursula K. Le Guin, who died a year ago today.